Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 1:33 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now. Royal Pizza, Pizza Pasta, so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years for a menu. And a list of their 14 Edmonton and area locations. Go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation, Mediterranean chicken. Had the Texan the other night. It's old school, big boy pizza. Everything's real at Royal. All right, without further ado, he joins us Monday and Wednesday here on Oilers Now, courtesy of Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy, Legacy Heating and Cooling. We welcome back to the show our NHL insider and chief political correspondent, John Shen. John, how are you doing?
I'm great, Bob. How are you?
Good. Well, we just had Staples on. He's our provincial affairs columnist. He actually is the provincial affairs columnist for Edmonton for Post Media. John, there were moments today where I thought actually Ken Holland, during his media availability at 9 a.m., was going to be asked about the provincial cabinet shuffle that took place yesterday. Because how much? Let me ask you this. Do you think when all these guys got involved, like in Ken's case, when he transitioned from goaltender to scout, that he thought one day that he was going to have to be up on how pandemics work and can change and alter your organization and schedules? I mean, everything. It's crazy, isn't it?
It is. It is crazy. We've joked about it before, but, in the last decade, lots of us have become lawyers. Lots of us have become accountants. Lots of us have become virologists. I mean, where the expectation is between the CBA, the pandemic, and everything else that goes in and around the National Hockey League, you need to have some sort of degree in international affairs and medicine.
Yeah, it's crazy times. Ken did mention, the situation with Duncan Keith. He said he talked to Josh Archibald about his options as well, and said that there was on our show today, and talked about the fact that the Oilers could have one vaccinated player. Is it easier for an American general manager to do it, knowing that you're only going to Canada so many times, and the issue's a Canadian border issue in terms of entry into Canada coming back from the United States? Does this make it a less delicate situation for an American GM right now than maybe a Canadian manager?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, Steve Yzerman's facing the same thing in Detroit with Tyler Bertuzzi. And when you consider that there are, in the Atlantic division, trying to get used to using the old division names again.
I had that problem too today.
In the Atlantic division, the Red Wings have to play in Ottawa, Montreal, and Toronto. It's going to affect them almost as much. So from that perspective, I would tell you that the two divisions, the Atlantic and the Pacific, as a whole, are more affected, whether you're a U.S.-based team or a Canadian-based team. But that is the reality of what the agreement between the Players Association and the league has done. And it should be noted, Bob, if the player elects not to get vaccinated, for the games that he cannot participate in, he can be suspended and not paid. So not only is it some sort of a medical decision, but it could be a financial decision in the end, too.
This text comes in from, I think he's having fun with me. Love the show and listen all the time. Looking forward to the camp starting. My only complaint is I wish you'd dedicate more time to talking about COVID.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, because I'm a numbers guy, and the numbers are what the numbers are, and sometimes the hard numbers are what the hard numbers are. All right, so several storylines around the league. And this is an ongoing situation. By the way, did you see Frank Cervelli's report today? Peter Chiarelli, former general manager of the Edmonton Oilers, he was doing some ghost work for Doug Armstrong in St. Louis. And right. We should mention to people, there was a time that Doug Armstrong was doing ghost work for the Edmonton Oilers for Kevin Lowe a number of years ago when he was let go by the Dallas Stars. But Peter Chiarelli could be going in a senior management role with the St. Louis Blues, and Ken Hitchcock as well with St. Louis. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes. What I think Doug is trying to do is surround himself with people and take have less of a workload, particularly in this year, an Olympic year, where Doug does have some Olympic responsibilities for Hockey Canada. But in the end, it becomes one where you have a trusted group of people around you, and whether it's Chiarelli and Hitchcock joining the Blues, and at a certain point, that becomes an asset for somebody who is with Armstrong's background and trusts these people.
Yeah, and they have that obvious connection from working on the 2014 Olympic team as well, which built one of the most dominant, three goals in the entire tournament. Kevin Lowe was part of that Olympic group as well. He assisted in putting that defense together. And we're going to be retirement night here at Edmonton, and as a result, number four, no longer for Chris Russell. He's going to wear number six, John.
Well, they weren't going to retire it for Adam Larson. We know that. the one thing I can tell you is that, in my personal opinion, having been around since 1979, the retirement of number four for Kevin is long overdue as a player. The Oilers did an interesting thing. They made a decision a long time ago to retire numbers only after they were inducted into the Hall of Fame, so that there was a certain level of accountability and credibility with the retired numbers. And so Kevin going into the Hall this November, it just made some sense that number four could finally be retired, and it's certainly well deserved. I'm happy for Kevin. I'm happy for his wife Karen, and for the whole family.
John, yesterday one of our texters, Glenn the bartender, had some fun with us as we fused sort of hockey with politics and tied into the movies.
You've never done that before, have you?
Never. The movie Slapshot. What was that song from Slapshot that Maxine Nightingale did? The More Things Stay the Same or whatever.
I don't know. The Maple Leafs use it as their song, goal song. I don't know why you're talking about that.
Really? They've got it. Yeah. Did the Maple Leafs not have a new docuseries that's coming out?
Amazon Prime, yes. Amazon Prime coming out, I think, the first week in October.
And we're hearing already that William Nylander's agent's not necessarily pleased with what appears on there?
Well, what I can tell you is that the Maple Leafs have certainly censured a lot of content in the documentary. There is a great deal of disappointment for the people at the league and at Amazon, who produced the content, the amount of input that Brendan Shanahan and his staff have had in trying to kind of launder what is heard.
I can't believe they would do that.
Yeah, right. Whether it's Nylander, there has to be something of relevance within the content. And I think it's a 4 or 5 part series, Bob, that comes out first week in October.
So this basically covers the past, like the Canadian, the season in the Canadian division for the Leafs?
That's right. It started basically with camp in January and ended with their exit interviews and went to the draft in July with the Maple Leafs. And, you know, in many ways, we talked about Boys on the Bus last year.
Yep.
You know, the expectation in 1986 was that the documentary would end with 99 skating around the Coliseum with the cup again. And I think there was a huge expectation when they decided to do the Maple Leafs, and the Maple Leafs agreed to do it, that they would be a team that would be at least into the Stanley Cup semifinals last year.
Yeah, you can't imagine the amount of disappointment there was in Western Canada watching the Canadiens roar back from 3-1 down and winning that series, John.
Hey, listen, whether we like it or not, there are closet Canadians fans in the West, and there are closet Maple Leafs fans in the West, and some closets are bigger than others.
I grew up a Canadiens fan. I love Guy Lafleur. Guy Lafleur and Rene Lévesque were my two favorite French Canadiens.
Hold on. Guy Lafleur and Rene Lévesque?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I thought Rennie had a great idea. Only I just didn't think it should be up to Quebec to decide. I thought it should be up to the rest of Canada. It should be like Survivor. I'm just joking with you. You know I love going there. Like, Montreal is my favorite Canadian city to go to. It's not even close. I find Toronto antiseptic a bit when you go there. You know what I mean? And maybe it's because in the lower bowl, half the seats are empty for the first 6 or 7 minutes of each period. Like, when you're in Montreal and you're in that building, John, you're alive. It's like going to the United Center in Chicago in the anthem. Like, you know, if we're fortunate enough to broadcast road games, this year.
Well, you're going to broadcast them. We don't know whether you're traveling.
Right. If we're fortunate enough to travel and Cam Moon gets that privilege of being in Chicago and, you know, having that anthem by Jim Cornelison belted out. And for the listeners that have made, we've done a couple roadies through New West Travel to Chicago. There's nothing like it. And it's the same as when you go to Montreal.
It reminds me of stories in those 80s and the years that I was doing all those Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Winnipeg, Toronto, and Edmonton games in Chicago on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night. We would work the system so that you could run, and this is the old stadium. It was much closer. You tell the director that he's in charge. He's in charge for the next 2.5 minutes, and let him direct the cameras. And you would run into the Zamboni entrance of the old Chicago Stadium and listen to Wayne Mesmer, who was really the original singer of the Star Spangled Banner. Listen to Wayne Mesmer sing it in front of 16,666, and there was nothing ever like it in the National Hockey League.
Was it the 91 All-Star game during the Gulf War? That's the one that's on YouTube. We'll get Brendan. It's an and Chicago fan. I think Chicago's the best U.S. city, John. It's got big city money, but Midwest value. You know what I mean?
There's something to be said for that. I'll tell you what. That's when Mesmer was, I think, at his
height.
At his height. Yeah. One quick story on that weekend. So I'm producing I'm producing both the skills competition and the game for NBC that year. And NBC had a policy corporately that they did not show national anthems at sporting events. And so we had production meetings that week, and we were arguing with them, it's going to be pretty special. And the Gulf War, you're right, the Gulf War had started, I think, on the Thursday night.
Yep.
Wednesday night or the Thursday night, and we were then doing the skills competition Friday and the game on Saturday. Could be. I get my dates wrong. But anyway, so Mesmer sings the anthem for the skills competition, and every NBC suit from New York runs into the TV mobile after he sings and says, "Guys, we've got to carry the anthem for the game." As if they have invented something, but they had to see it for themselves and had to believe it for themselves that that night was so special, with America at war, and Wayne Mesmer singing the way he did, and it was by far the most impactful thing about the All-Star game that weekend was the Star Spangled Banner that he sang.
All right. On yesterday's show, I want to get back to Glenn the Bartender's text. We talked briefly about the election early in the show, and he said, "Bob, for the same amount that was spent on the election, Quebec could have had an expansion franchise at $650 million. And I think the only way Quebec City ever gets back in, the only way is through a transfer of an NHL team from the States. So I'm going to put you on the spot again, John, for the 239th time over the last six seasons. Do you believe Quebec City could support they wouldn't be the sexiest market from an NHL perspective, but that Battle of Quebec back in the day was awesome. It was an. It was great hockey. It was just like the Battle of Alberta. Maybe not. I mean, Quebec had one of the highest scoring teams in the league for a number of years. Give me your perspective. Could it work in Quebec City?
First of all, the rivalry between Quebec and Montreal was more than hockey, if you remember. It was beer, too.
Yep.
And it was the days of Carling O'Keefe versus Molson. And that's what made it even more special for a ton of people. I have my doubts of whether Quebec can host an NHL team anymore. And not for the hockey side, not for filling the arena seats. But you need to generate so many corporate dollars now to be part of revenue sharing that it would be difficult, that it would truly be difficult for a city as small as Quebec City to have the corporate commitment. And let's say we're not going to take money from the provincial government in Quebec City. You need millions and millions of corporate dollars.
Isn't that how business?
I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where it comes from in Quebec City.
Isn't that how business is done in Quebec? You get money from the government?
I don't know. I don't live there.
Yeah. Well, that's how they built the $400 million arena, right? $200 million
of it was the city. That was the city.
$200 from the city and $200 from the province. That's how they built it. Because I asked about Quebecor, John, yesterday with Spec, and he didn't believe that Palladio could do it. So,
he has the money to do it. He has the money. There's no question about the money to do it. But we're talking about corporate dollars. We're talking about signage. We're talking about things. The amount of corporate sponsorship, for instance, that the Oilers get. There's no way that a team in Quebec City could garner half of what they do in Edmonton.
Yeah.
And Edmonton's a special place when it comes to, you know, what the Oilers do, how hockey works, and how Rogers' place works. So I just have my doubts. Do I have doubts that they could fill the seats? No, I don't have my doubts they can fill the seats, but I have my doubts that everything other than the ancillary, the TV revenue, I don't think it would be able to work in Quebec City because of that.
John Shannon, final one for you. IIHF, Rene Fassel, it's been out there for a while. Are they about to, right now Bob Nicholson is the vice president. Of course, he's also president of the hockey side of the Oilers Entertainment Group. Do we know who's going to be the next president of the International Ice Hockey Federation?
We don't. The election is early Saturday morning our time, Bob. Bob Nicholson is not on the ballot to be the president. He is on the ballot to be there's a new position being put in place as a senior vice president that Bob is running for. We will see as of Saturday afternoon who the next president of the International Ice Hockey Federation is.
And one final thing, I lied. Congratulations. Is it true you're going to be making seven figures? I was told yesterday by a source, seven figures for your show on Sirius?
I can either confirm nor deny. You know, we don't have salary disclosure in the broadcast industry.
There you go. Great stuff. Thanks a lot, John. Have a good weekend, man.
Okay, Bob. Bye-bye.
That is John Shannon joining us on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. We go to List 8 in Oilers history. Dennis and Jason Laliberti and the team at New West Travel all season long provide you this day in Oilers history. And when we have some news on potential trips, we've been to New York City and Boston and Montreal and Chicago and Dallas. What about Seattle? Be a pretty good idea. Anyways, this day in Oilers history, it involved our guest yesterday. Here's Brendan Escott.
Back in 1997, the Oilers make some preseason roster cuts, and among them are Georges Larocque, who has spent 46 games with the AHL's Hamilton Bulldogs that year, racked up 154 penalty minutes. He did appear in 11 NHL games. He registered 59 PIMs, but no points.
Okay, and again, you can text us at any time, 780-496-0063. A lot of you have a lot of opinions right now, no question. It's great. Love the passion. Coming up on tomorrow's edition of Oilers Now, We'll tell you that starting in October for Canadian Power Pack, Alberta's leader in electrical construction, service electrical, prefabrication, solar, we will be welcoming back Kevin Weeks tomorrow. Cam Moon, one of the Oilers' two radio play-by-play voices this year. The other, of course, is Jack Michaels. From Puckpedia to talk about the potential impact, I think the general assumption will be that if Stalock can't play, he'll go to LTIR and join one Oscar Clefbaum. But Hart Levine will be on tomorrow's show from Puckpedia to help educate us in the options that are available to the Edmonton Oilers. And you're not going to want to miss this if you're planning on going to the building for the first preseason game against Seattle, which is going to be Tuesday next week. Stu Ballantyne, the vice president of Rogers Place and Ice District, we're actually going to walk people through various different processes. A lot of you have done it out there that are vaccinated. You've gone on the AHS site and got yourself your vaccination cards. And Brandon, I still haven't figured out how to take a picture of what's on my phone. What do you call that when you do that?
A screenshot?
I've not figured out how to do a screenshot on my phone. I should probably figure that out. Are you shocked that I don't know how to do that?
I'm chuckling back here. I'm not going to lie to you. There's two buttons on the phone. I think you press them at the same time.
Okay, well, I have like five buttons on my phone. I'll get you to come into the room 6 feet apart, and you can take the picture that I need of my little vaccination card. So I've got that as a backup in case I ever lose the hard copy. Again, Stu Ballantyne, Hart Levine, Cam Moon on tomorrow's show. We'll also have some comments from some of the players, Zach Hyman, as well as Warren Fogle and Mikko Koskinen. Reed Wilkins will have some of that on tonight's edition of Inside Sports. What else has he got shaking?
It's going to be a fluid show for him.
There
tonight.
You go. Good to hear. Up next, the global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, then the 6:30 Chit Afternoons, 3 to 6 with Jalen Nye. Special thanks to all of you, regardless of your views. Much appreciated that took time to text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Have a wonderful Wednesday, everybody.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 6:30 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.